Well, welcome to See Here Love and part two of our Unknown Women of the Bible series, where we will take a deeper look at the lives of four extraordinary women in the Old Testament and New Testament. These women are not well known. They are rarely referenced, and you've probably never even heard of them. But each one of them made a significant impact in the kingdom of God that forever altered history. Now, these women were savvy, fierce, bold, gritty, and God-fearing. And so for the next 4 weeks, we'll be honoring these unknown women of the Bible, speaking their names, telling their stories, and learning from their tenacity, courage, obedience to God, resilience, and leadership. And so today, we're going to learn all about this unknown woman named Anna from Luke 2, 36 to 38. But before we get to the study, make sure you download our free study guide at seeherelove.com/unknownwomenstudy. Which now has also been translated into French and Spanish. So you and your Bible study group can follow along with the questions as we learn together. Are you ready? Well, we are. Let's go.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Here Love with Melinda Estabrooks.
Season 11,
episode number 18.
We are all together from coast to coast to coast across Canada. For all those watching across the nation and around the world, here we are. And I'm so thrilled that we're together, new and old friends, to do a four-part Bible study together. The Unknown Women of the Bible, part two in Spanish and French, and we translated it. So let's get going. But before that, we need to do some introductions. Helen Burns. Pastor, mentor to the next generation and international speaker, welcome.
It's so good to be back.
Great to have you here. Sharon Witten, pastor, national speaker, and mentor to leaders, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Karina Shea, reverend, lead pastor, mentor as well, and national speaker. Welcome. I'd like to say reverend. I know.
I love it.
Okay. Ed and Miranda, pastor, Bible teacher, leader of leaders, and the one and who helped to write the Bible study for us. So thank you so much. Well, let's get into this. We are talking about Anna. Yeah. And Helen, you are the one teaching us in this study. So excited to hear what you have to say.
Well, this has been fun getting ready.
Yeah?
Honestly,
okay.
She's three scriptures in the Bible, found in Luke, but she is something else. We can learn so much from her life as we can. There's always a reason they're in the Bible. There's something here to learn, and I love this. So I'm gonna read from Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. It says, "There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." So here we are introduced to this amazing woman, Anna. But the question is, what happened before this verse, verse 38, that says coming up to them at that very moment? Because this is a very significant time, and we know Luke chapter 2 well from the Christmas story, and this is tucked in there as well, but we don't often reference this part of it. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 23, it talks about when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, that's Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. So what happens? Mary and Joseph arrive at the temple with baby Jesus to satisfy this Old Testament law after the birth of their son. They need to make the purification offering and to present Jesus, their firstborn male, to God, which is wild. God being presented to God, but how beautiful that example. And while they're there, we first are introduced in this story then to a man named Simeon who holds Jesus in his arms, praises God, and utters a prophecy concerning Jesus and Mary. And then at this moment,
okay,
there's always a moment, enter Anna enters the story, and she immediately recognizes Jesus as a long-awaited Savior and begins thanking God for him. Mm. I'm so moved by the life of this godly woman. I really am. Something about her makes my heart tender. Mm. And thinking of the reward, we know here from the story that she was 84 at this moment, had been widowed after 7 years of marriage, and now had served all her days in the temple, fasting and praying. And in this moment, her long-awaited dream comes to fruition, and she is a prophetess here serving in the house of God. And so she recognizes Jesus for who he is and declares him to be the child who all had been waiting expectantly for the redemption and deliverance of their people. And I think it's very significant, too, that Anna is actually named as a prophet, because there are not that many female prophets mentioned in the Bible. We know about a group of women, a very small group, as prophets. One is Miriam. Another is Deborah. We've talked about her before here. And today, in this series, we're going to be learning more about Huldah. And I'm excited about that. She's also named in this group. Isaiah's wife was known as a prophet. And Philip's four daughters. That's a small group. Yeah. But Anna is one of them. And so this beautiful woman who loved God and had waited for this moment had the opportunity to witness this. And I love that Anna, and I think this is what frames my wonder of her. She did not miss the moment. She recognized this moment. And I thought about it, this as I thought about her life. How many times have I missed moments that God had orchestrated for us to take part in, to be a part of the story? And I feel like this is a charge to all of us. Don't miss the moments. Don't be so busy with your head down that you're not looking for what God is up to, because he's always up to something. So Anna in Hebrew comes from the name Hannah, which means favor or grace. And we encounter her, like I said, when she's 84 years old. She's the daughter of Penuel and belonged to the tribe of Asher, and really lived what would have been thought of as a pretty insignificant life. But there is never anything insignificant in a life that's lived for God, a life of dedication. She never left the temple, but she worshiped there night and day, fasting and praying. Here's a few thoughts that I have. Faithfulness and dedication to God is always rewarded. God will reward your faithfulness. I don't know how many times we as mothers, as pastors, as leaders have had a lot of mundane moments, but that the reward of your faithfulness in what seems mundane, God notices, heaven notices. Right. And so here she is being rewarded and gets to be the one who makes this declaration in that very significant time in history. And also we see from her life, prayer creates an intimacy and that intimate conversation with God, a connection to God, which will also result in being able to recognize what God's doing. God is doing something. And prayer and her connection to God, her dedication, awakened that recognition and then that declaration, a prophetic word about that. And often in culture where widows would have been of very little worth or supported, God chose Anna. He had his hand on her. He had something for her to carry. And she becomes the first official witness to this Messiah. I love it so much. And good news is meant to be shared. And boy, did she ever. She shared it with everyone that was anticipating the Messiah. The Redeemer had come. The prophecies were fulfilled. And I love that she was the one who got to speak that out in that moment. Just in wrapping this up, God uses people in spite of their age. In this scenario is beautiful Mary, young Mary, who had just given birth to her son, a miraculous conception, but she has just done it. And now she is walking out what she would do as an obedient woman in this season of her life, so young. And then here is also Anna. And of course, we know before the declaration of her pregnancy, she has an encounter with Elizabeth, also someone in her old age. And so, and I think of who's at this table, and I'm the oldest one at this table, but I think of whether you're young or old, the usefulness you have for God is so significant. Yes. And I think that that is really worth noticing. Mm-hmm. I love this so much. Your age is never a hindrance to what God wants to do in and through your life. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that God uses people in spite of their social status, not by the most educated. Education is beautiful, but it's out of relationship. It's not social status. It's not how the world sees you. It's how God sees you. And Anna got the attention of God, and I love that about her life. Beautiful, devout Anna, richly rewarded after her many, many years of sacrifice and dedication. And it was worth it all when she beheld Jesus and declared who he was. So, yes, I have fallen in love with this woman, Anna. She is special. Yeah. And I'm really thrilled that we get to talk about her life. And I'd be curious, anything that stands out for you that you notice in the story of beautiful, devout, living her life for Jesus, for God, and then recognizing Jesus' story?
Yeah. Well, I'll jump right in there.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that jumped out right away to me was how Scripture says she was very old.
Yes.
Not just old, she was very old.
Very.
And like you said, God can use anyone, and he does. And this is incredible to me. And I love how you said she did not miss this moment. Mm-hmm. How often have we, because of our circumstances, thought to ourselves, oh, God can't use me, or I don't know what my future holds, or I don't know what gifts I have to bring. And she did not miss the moment that God called her. You know, and also what stood out to me too was that 84 years of fasting and praying.
I know. Yes. I'm very challenged by
that. And never leaving the temple. You know, how hard is it for us to fast and pray for a day, and then we're daydreaming about Cheetos. And here she is, fasting and praying and devoting her entire life to God this way.
Yeah.
Could we, would we be a little bit like Anna? Mm-hmm. Our faithfulness would just skyrocket to God.
Yeah, her life has a lot to teach us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love how the parents are really taking this all in, because it's like, I think it's like verse 33, that the child's father and mother are sitting there. They're marveled. Mm-hmm. Simeon's just had this prophetic word. Then Anna comes in. And this isn't like the Christmas story that I imagined really read it like that. It's not the wise men and the shepherds and whatever else. That timeline is, we'll have another Bible study on timelines. But this is part of the story. Mm-hmm. This is baby Jesus, days old, probably being dedicated in the temple. And I think there's something beautiful about just saying her name.
Yes.
And saying, she knew God so intimately that she could call out what was happening in that moment and declare the Messiah was there. That's my big takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
It was her voice and Simeon's that declared this. This is him. This is who we've been waiting for. Like, oh, how precious is that moment?
I love that.
I love her faithfulness. It said that she was widowed. And to, you know, like, what kind of grief did she, or grief did she face? And then extending her faith in the weight, in that kind of monastic lifestyle of prayer and fasting, like, it's clear that she had some sort of, you know, expectation of something that was coming, despite her own personal pain, probably. Because the Bible says that she lived with her husband for 7 years, and then she was a widow. So I just kind of think about, like, what was happening behind the scenes in her heart that, you know, turned her heart from, okay, the pain to now the expectation, right?
That's super intentional from Luke. Luke is one of those gospel writers that is always seeking to identify the marginalized.
Yes.
He wants people to know that Jesus came for the marginalized. Yep. And we'll see that throughout the book of Luke.
Yeah. And she would have been on the margins, on the margins, and would have been, maybe I'm just here to do nothing, but she really engaged her role. She lived in the moment. She dedicated it and never lost sight of. I get that sense of she was just that faithfulness the day in, day out, that she knew this was a calling and a purpose, and lived it out with expectation. So I look at a lot of people at 84 years of age, and I feel like so often I'm chiding them. I just had my 70th birthday a few months ago, so that was like, whoa, you know, talk about very old. I'm getting there quickly. But I feel like I'm chiding so many women that are, you know, 10 or 15 years beyond me. I'm like, you have usefulness in the kingdom.
Yes.
We have purpose. We need your prayers. Yes. We need your voice. Would you speak up? Yes. Like, speak up. We need your story. Mm-hmm. We need to know what brought you here. Tell us. And I feel so often we feel like, oh, leave it to the young ones. It's their turn. And I feel, I don't want to be that woman. I want to be out there with you, running with all of the Marys in the world and the young ones.
And Helen, I want you to keep saying that, because it's like, we need those women to declare, to expect, to speak, to be faithful, and to show us that, like you said, God will reward your faithfulness. Yes. Mm-hmm. We need to see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The generation to the generation to the generation. I think that's huge. It gives me chills about she did not miss the moment. No. Actually, that really hit me, because I was like, how many times, like you said, do we miss the moment? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we think the moments are either really obvious or going to be grand and amazing, and they're going to benefit me. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the moments aren't. Sometimes the moments are just small things behind the scenes. Sometimes it's the moment is to speak truth and love to your 21-year-old son who's living at home with you and help him become the man that God wants him to be. Like, we can't miss moments that God has put in front of us every day, all the time, all the time. And I love that, declaring the truth, speaking of expectation, declaration, joy, revelation, all of those things that we need to do.
Yeah. Right? I love the thought of even the encounter of her and Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
Like, I know in my life, I've needed affirmation, even though Mary and Joseph realized this was fully God and God intervention. To have someone speak that and declare that and speak that over you is so powerful. And so having a voice say, this is the Redeemer, this is the long-awaited Messiah we have longed for, is beautiful.
It is. It is.
The affirmation, right? Mm-hmm. The affirmation of what God is doing, the speaking things out loud, the naming them.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
I think that's so important. And tucked away in this, probably one of the most famous chapters in Luke, here we find Anna.
Yeah. Yeah.
Named alongside the Messiah. And that's incredible.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Right? That's the beauty of God's grace, that he's just always surprising us in the way he does things. It's never the way the world expects. It's always his way.
Yeah.
Yeah. The better way.
And I'm just reminded, like, I can't get off the fact that she was 84.
Yeah.
Because that in biblical times, I mean, a lot of people died young, right? Yeah. Like 84. But then, as you said, the young and the old working together, like in the storyline of God. Like, he has the young virgin, he has the older lady. Like, it's just... It's
when she's
beautiful.
Living in community in the temple.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah.
So there's that piece that they are caring for the widows and the orphans.
Yes.
And so there is a community that would have recognized her as, oh, that's the woman who fasts and prays.
Yeah.
That's the one who's here every day. Right? Yes. She would have been recognized, but maybe not valued. Like, we don't know the situation. Yeah. We culturally, definitely not valued. But maybe within that community, trusted. Mm-hmm. If she's fasting and praying, that's the one who shows up. That's the one who's not
he's
on
being
platform.
Faithful.
That's that's the one who is like bending her knee and doing the spiritual practices. And that's what actually inspires me about her life. I'm learning that spiritual practices don't get old. Spiritual practices are not like for the past or some kind of trend that happens and people are writing about it and all that. No, this is... This is what that intimacy and that closeness with God looks like.
Perfect segue, because the question to us is, how does Anna's life inspire us to live?
Mm-hmm.
We read scripture, which I love. I love this. Reading scripture in community is how it was designed, like to read a story and then talk like this. And how does the scripture then come alive in us for us to live it out, to change us? So how does her life inspire you to live? I know, we could take a moment, but like, what, think of Anna's life. And, you know, it can be as personal or broad, but how does she inspire you to
live? Well, I've thought about her a lot. Okay. I am inspired by her devotion. I want to be that woman that lives devoted in the hardest seasons that I'm, and the highest and the best. I want to live a life of consecration and devotion to my Savior. What else will I do with my one life? It's precious. Yeah. But I'm inspired by that devotion. And though I don't live in a church, I've pastored for many years, I've been that, but everything we do for the kingdom, whatever our hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. Do it with dedication and devotion, and every act matters. It's not hidden from God.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. the daily faithfulness,
yeah. mm-hmm.
just being mm. obedient.
Yeah.
I don't think that when she became a widow, she expected that one day she would have a declaration to make of any kind. Mm-hmm. But it's because of her obedience to God every single day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we should strive for, is mm-hmm. obedience.
Yeah.
If we could just be obedient, you know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, what's next? What's next? What's next? Mm-hmm. And it's good to look forward. It's good to dream. It's good to have ambition. Mm-hmm. But I just want to be obedient
mm-hmm.
every day, mm-hmm. like Anna.
I think there's such a unique call here to fasting and prayer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
I, you know, sometimes we see it as an old thing that, you know, our grandma does or just our next door neighbor mm-hmm. does, but it is a call for all of us, the yeah. young and the old, as you said, Helen, to devotion mm-hmm. through fasting and prayer, through seeking the Lord.
That's right.
Let's slow down there for a second, because mm-hmm. there are world pastors around the table that let's unpack fasting for a second, because mm-hmm. I think culturally there's been this understanding of, oh, I'm going to fast. I had somebody tell me, I'm going to fast from makeup. And I was like, oh, I've never heard about that before. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to fast from other things, right, in our current culture. But this is talking about food. And it's yeah. not intermittent fasting
for
dieting.
Yeah.
This is not what we're talking about,
yeah.
right? There's this cultural piece that right, we may not right. understand mm-hmm. this practice. And so just for context, there is different kinds of fasting. And that she was probably, and we can be nerdy right now for a second together.
Like, I love that.
She
yeah.
was probably fasting from food and mm-hmm. probably just drinking water,
yes.
is my guess, because of her age.
That's right.
She
yeah.
could have also maybe been on vegetables only and fasting from meat mm-hmm. of whatever sort. That's a possibility.
Likely.
Because of, again, yep. her age. Mm-hmm. And so I think that moment is really mm-hmm. interesting to clarify. And if people want to learn more about that, we can mm-hmm. ask your pastors about that. Ask your church yeah. leaders about that. Because
okay.
there's a teaching there and something that is lost, I think,
yeah,
in our generation with this fasting and prayer.
Yeah, that's
but
good.
For me, I wrote down her daily practices, devotion, declaring
yeah.
the
yeah.
Messiah,
mm-hmm.
and being like showing up as this mentor, as this older mentor in Mary's life in that moment, mm. and just going like, yeah, I'm here. I see it. I see what you already know. I see it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And so. Mm. Amazing. Declare the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
All day long.
Yeah. I'm going to take that one. I'm going to take all of yours. I think, you know, like I said earlier, I think don't miss the moment. I think the declaration of the one who I follow mm-hmm. more so in a time, you know, now than ever to say, you know, I follow Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, this man, God, who exemplifies everything about love and light and life.
Yeah.
You know, I think declaring, you know, it's like this Bible study is about speaking the names of these unknown women. It's like speaking the name of Jesus
yeah.
and
yeah.
Messiah more.
Yes.
Declaration,
yes.
I think, yeah. is really important, I think, for that. And I think the faithfulness. I'm not, could I be more faithful to Jesus in my everyday journey in life?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In my thoughts, in my actions, more faithful in the loving way.
Mm-hmm.
In the way of, you know, love and grace. And I think that sometimes it gets hard because we're in a culture where it's like there's always the hustle and the grind and we got to get ahead and we got to get more viral videos. And we got to, yeah. And sometimes you can get into that pace and become that person.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's like, what does it mean to be faithfully serving, you know, God, being in that space of
yeah.
devotion and, mm-hmm. you know, devotedness?
Yeah.
So I think those are really good things for me, you know, just to be reminded of,
yeah.
you know. And again, I didn't really know about Anna at all. This
yeah.
is a guy I didn't really know. I mean, you kind of read over the story very quickly and gloss over, but never, oh, mm-hmm. this is what she was about. This is what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how old she was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
One thing I am so aware of, too, and I think how it translates into my personal life is setting my day. Like, mm-hmm. if we do not set these practices in place, it gets away from us. And so that is something that I have taken on, that I, like you mentioned, the dailiness of it. And I want to be here and look. I think setting our day, focusing on God, I expect God to show up. We live with this expectation, holy expectation, but it's what I do to start my day that will set my day, that will set me up for what God wants to do. Encounters and downloads that surprise us.
And if you don't do that, you miss the moments.
We miss the moments.
Right. You miss the moments. You're too busy trying to do everything all at once, and then you're doing nothing at all. Right? But that's how we miss the moments, I think, when we are just too busy going about the things we want to do for God and forgetting that He wants to be with us.
I'm really impacted by verse 38. I love how you said holy expectation, Helen, because she was expecting the Messiah. She was and then declared it. But her this is where she's declaring. And coming, my version says, in coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So not only there's a holy expectation, this is happening right now, and now I'm anticipating redemption is here, and I'm going to tell the people around me.
So good
that this is actually happening. This, what are you looking for? What are we all looking for? This is really, I think, applicable to our current moment too. Is like, what are people looking for? They're looking for hope. They're looking for joy. They're looking for the redemption, and we, like Anna, have the answer to go like, look, this is Jesus. We're going to give thanks to Jesus. And that's what brought people like to know this truth, this declaration that she is. It's the gospel right there. Like, preach this on Christmas. Who's going to take that next year? There we go. This is so good. It's so good.
I want to be more like her.
Me too.
She really inspired me to just be a rise up woman. It doesn't matter how the world sees me. It matters how God sees me, and He sees me.
Has there been a person in your life that's like an Anna, that has called things out in you, that have declared Jesus?
I think for all of us, I think for all of us to be here doing the work we do, I think there had to be women who spoke into our lives and mentored us and called us out. I mean, called us out in the good way of like, you need to go, but also called us out to say, there may be some like character things you need to work on. There may be some timing things you need to work on. Maybe it's not now, but I mean, if we went around the table, we could probably name all these women that have mentored us and supported us. And we're here because of them.
Truly.
You know, and Helen, I want to say, just to affirm you, because I don't think of you as 70. I think of you as a young woman. I do. But what I love, though, is that I think that we need to remind women of, you know, older ages to say you still can be faithful and follow and declare and make a difference. And God is with you and will use you in that time.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that. And you're doing that all the time. So
don't put me on a sideline. I got places to go and things to do.
Absolutely.
You know, Sharon, I think it'd be great for you to do a prayer to kind of like close this up. And I know that we, like, Anne, you put prayers in this Bible study, which I love because I think in every discussion, it's always great to kind of end with a prayer. And then you can use this prayer, but also then say other prayers around the table, right? It's just a guide for you to do. But I think for this time, we'll have Sharon just pray this prayer to kind of like end up our conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Helen. So good.
So good.
So let's pray. Holy God, grant us the devotion and patience you gave Anna. Help us to wait faithfully, keeping our hearts fixed on you in every season. When the world grows busy and uncertain, strengthen our spirit to pray without ceasing and to recognize your work in our lives. Teach us to speak your truth gently and to glorify your name with steadfast hearts. Guide our steps in faithful service. Keep us watchful and hopeful, and let our lives bear witness to your goodness. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Helen and Sharon and Karina and Anne, for your discussion. So appreciate our conversation. And if anybody needs more information about you or our study, seehearlove.com. Don't forget to download our free Bible study guide at seehearlove.com/unknownwomenstudy. And thank you also to the Canadian Bible Study for sponsoring this series. We so appreciate you. Well, thank you for joining us. And always know, just like Anna, that you are seen, you are heard, and deeply loved by God. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you next time for episode 2. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.